This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello, everybody. It's a new year and a new episode of the Sky Blues Extra podcast, kindly sponsored by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. We're back after a bit of a winter break and ready to dial back into all things Sky Blue. Dean Atkinson here alongside David and Ross. Chaps, good evening. How are we? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I thought you were just going to leave me hanging there, boy.
Well, I thought I'd let Ross go. It's been a while since he's said hello to any of us, I think. Yeah. So I thought I'd let him go first.
I was going to bring up the elephant in the room. Ross, where have you been?
I've been on an adventure, Dina.
The Costa adventure.
DaCosta-esque. I was during November, December, had a Christmas gig, so I was unable to pod because I had shows on Sundays, which is when we usually record, and on Mondays as well. So yeah, I'm back though, ready, and Memory Lane will be returning as well, which I know you're very excited about, Dino. So
I can't wait. Alexa's just gone off in the background as well. I think she's excited too.
She's excited that I'm back, so yeah, it should be a good one.
Brilliant. Good to hear it. Dave, all good with you?
Yeah, all good. Couple of, you know, obviously missed being at the football over the Christmas period. A couple of games that are off, a few that I couldn't make. So, yeah, really, really looking forward to this weekend, where it looks like we're going to take a pretty decent crowd to Peterborough.
Yeah, we've looked for some more tickets as well. It's always a good sign. So let's talk about the football then. Obviously an important win yesterday. Kind of felt like the win was kind of needed to get back sort of that feel-good factor back into the club, Dave, over what's probably been a drab couple of months if we look at it in honesty.
Yeah, I think it's probably felt a bit like that as well because of the lack of football. You know, there's been games, there's been postponements. It feels ages since we got 3 points. It is ages. Was it 10 games? Maybe more. I'm trying to think when we
it was 11 games. Well, it was the Bristol City game, wasn't it?
Mm.
That was the last win.
So yeah, you know, some time ago, and I suppose that's made it. You know, that's made it a little bit more drab, I guess. But the performances have been there at times. We just have had that old, you know, we can't finish at times chestnut, but. No, I think happy that it's back. Glad that we're over the sort of postponements. It's going to make for an absolute terrible Tuesday, Saturday schedule, which is going to be difficult to get to some of the games, I guess. But yeah, great that we're seeing something on Saturday. And, you know, disappointed with draws and stuff, but we're still there or thereabouts. It wouldn't take us much to get back to where we were.
Absolutely. It's good that you bring up the sort of schedule. It's likely to be seven championship games and the fourth round over 27 days. So it's going to be pretty hectic, isn't it, Ross?
Yeah, it will be. I mean, it's sort of shades from last season, isn't it, towards the end, you know, when there was all those games sort of getting postponed and we had to cram them all in. So we've been there before, but we're in very different circumstances this time. And hopefully we can just find that bit of form again. We've had probably the biggest sort of little dip, you know, this season, and we're still where we are. We'd have all took this at the start of the season. So it's an exciting second half of the season to come up, and hopefully we can get players back fit, sharp again, and hopefully we can go on another winning run. And potentially it could do us a favour, sort of having just sort of, you know, dropped away a tiny little bit, because all the focus now will go on the other teams like Middlesbrough, yeah, etc. I think we've always done better when we've not had any talk about us, and that goes back to the League One winning season and staying up and everything like that. So I actually think it could take a bit of pressure off the players, that the general media aren't now hammering about, oh, Coventry in the top three or four. So I think we might benefit from that.
Absolutely. I know a lot of people have mentioned, obviously, us falling outside of those playoff places, but we're only 6 points off them with three games in hand on, you know, the sixth place team, which is Huddersfield. And we know they're not great if we look at the game back a few weeks ago. So there's still the opportunity to be amongst those playoff places, isn't there?
100%. I mean, Huddersfield, to be fair, of the most sort of recent games, we battered in that game. I mean, we should have won that game 100%. I mean, a draw was a travesty, really. Obviously, it felt good because it was a late equaliser, but we should have won that game. So, and look at Blackburn. Blackburn's another team who we drew 2-2 against. And at that time, they'd been on a poor run. Their fans were saying Mowbray out. And then they go and win six in a row. And all of a sudden, they're the form team and they're, you know, within touching distance of the automatic. So things can change. We were never going to go the whole season. We were never going to go 46 games with, you know, without going on a terrible run. And the other thing, when we haven't done this season, which is good, I mean, we haven't lost. I don't think we've lost back-to-back games, have we, in the league this season?
No, not like I remember. So I'm just looking at the form table now. Doesn't look like it.
So, I mean, to me, that says a lot. If our worst period in the season is a few draws and we've not lost two in a row, then I don't think it's a bad season overall.
I know people are talking about those draws as well, but you look at the draws who they were against in that little period. Sheffield United, Birmingham, Bournemouth, you know, coming back from 2-0 down against Bournemouth as well. So we've showed fight, grit and determination during that period. So it's not all doom and gloom. And hopefully now, once we sort of get back in the rhythm, I think that's a key thing to be back in the rhythm playing as well. That's going to be really important. Let's touch on those postponements then, because we had three games postponed. Stoke on the 18th, Cardiff on Boxing Day, which obviously we wouldn't have been able to go to anyway because of the Welsh regulations, and then Luton on the 1st. What's your thoughts on these postponements, Dave? Because are some teams sort of playing up to the ability to postpone matches when they've got injuries? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Who knows? It's one of them that it's almost become so political to discuss and talk, isn't it? I mean, it's madness that
no one again conspiracy could go away to.
Well, you know, Cardiff could go away to Middlesbrough, but Middlesbrough wouldn't be able to go and play. The same fans wouldn't be able to go and watch them at home. It, you know, just because of where they are regionally based, just seems absolutely absurd, I guess. I suppose the big thing is just the knock-on effect it's going to have. You know, now where do you squeeze? Stoke's been squeezed in. Cardiff is going to have to get squeezed in. Luton, obviously, and then obviously Forest, you know, now with an extra cup game and stuff. So it is going to be tricky in squeezing these in, and the only people ultimately that's going to lose out are, you know, people that are going to struggle to make it to midweek games. Cardiff from Coventry, or any location actually, on a, you know, if we are able to go. And the same for sort of Luton and stuff. It's hard to get out of things that go in midweek. You know, Saturday football, 3 o'clock is ultimately where you want to be, isn't it?
Absolutely. What about from the sort of the team's perspectives? You know, the postponements. A lot of teams seem to, you know, get lots of games postponed when they've got big injury lists as well. Ross, are they sort of playing up to that fact?
100%. I mean, I think Tony Mowbray actually hit the nail on the head a few weeks ago when he said if all these people who you know, were testing positive for COVID, if they were just injured, the games would have to be played. There wouldn't be a discussion about the games being postponed. They'd have to field the youngsters, the under 23s. That's the whole reason everyone's got a squad. So, and as Tony Mowbray said at the time, what's the sort of rules? It all just seemed sort of make it up as everyone went along, really, during that Christmas time. And it was like, oh no, and we want the game postponed. I mean, and I just think we've got to just get on with it. That's the whole reason we've got a squad. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it suits teams to play the youngsters if they don't want to take a competition seriously. But then, you know, when it suits, it's like, oh no, they don't count. You know, they're not first team sort of thing. So I think it's been frustrating.
Absolutely agree with that. And you know, ultimately, Millwall, you know, wanted the game cancelled, didn't they? And then.
Look at the team they put out.
And look at the team. And then we were arguably more hindered by COVID, you know, than we were if you looked at, you know, team sheets and minutes on the pitch throughout the season. So, yeah, it's...
That was the narrative, wasn't it? That was driven. It was Millwall and we were 100% fit. You know, that was how it sort of... It felt like. And then we saw the team sheet and actually we'd been hit harder. And the other thing that gets me, the other... hypocrisy about a lot of these clubs is a lot of these clubs were voting for five substitutes because they want to utilize their big squad but then they're not happy
all of a sudden they haven't got a big squad
all of a sudden oh we can't play our games. So it's been frustrating and it was a shame because Christmas, you know, we love those sort of, you know, festive fixtures, so it was disappointing not to have a few games. And
gets you away from the family, doesn't it, Ross?
That's what I live for. It's my favorite time of the year.
I know I'd be happy to get out of the house after speaking to my mum and dad for too long. But yeah. So I was disappointed for the games to be cancelled. Obviously, there was that one game, the Millwall game. I don't really want to discuss it that much, but I think we have to sort of glance over it. Pretty awful, wasn't it, lads? Awful performance, awful result. You know, just stunk, really. Stunk the place out.
Yeah, it was a bit of a typical... of result, wasn't it, when we saw about the team news and all of the build up to it, that we were going to hammer them 6-1 again and all of that stuff, to then go and, you know, a goal that wasn't particularly great, and to go down to that, I think was just it sort of, I don't know, it was Coventry personified, wasn't it, really?
It was
of yesteryear.
It was the most predictable. It did remind me to when I used to, you know, when we were in the Championship before under Coleman and Boothroyd. It was so prescribed, like you knew exactly how that game was going to go against Millwall. Like, well, after the first 10-15 minutes, you just knew we're never going to score. We've got 11 players who all seem off it, and they're going to score an absolute sort of scrappy, because they were no good either. It should have been 0-0 at worst. And then they scored. You just knew it was going to be like a rubbish goal. And the word you said earlier, Dino, rhythm, that was the key thing. And that was the concern I had going into the game, was because we hadn't played since Huddersfield, was what was our rhythm going to be like? When we've been good this season, it's been free flowing. The rhythm's been there. We've gone, okay, we know how we attack. Sometimes, yeah, people might not do a bad pass or a bad cross or something like that, but we've had the rhythm throughout the team. We just had none of that. It was like there were a bunch of strangers that had just been thrown together sort of thing. So it was a frustrating... performance. I think actually, in a way, it was probably the worst performance of the season.
Yeah,
for me,
I agree. Yeah, definitely. And it's funny you mentioned that Huddersfield performance, because we played pretty well that day. And you know, if we'd played Stoke the week later, you know, I think Stoke would have come up against a really, really good Coventry side, and we wouldn't be sitting here talking about a really drab performance against Millwall, which is, you know, was 2.5 weeks gap has really shown in the performance and the levels of players. I just thought we looked tired. I know the COVID situation and lack of training has obviously played into that, but I just thought we looked lethargic. And I'm looking at the stats now, 14 shots. I can't remember one. I honestly can't remember one decent effort we had in that
game. Only one I remember was the only one up my end was O'Hare, that chance, which he just hit straight at the goalkeeper. And I think he should have, again, that we come back to O'Hare, great player, bit more composure, and I think he side-foots that into the back of the net. But that's the only one I can remember. I mean, the only thing I remember was thinking, Liam Kelly looks so off it.
That was the thing.
I said to the mate I went with, I said, after 5 minutes, I thought, he just looks off it. Now, Liam Kelly, I feel like when he's sharp and on it, after a few games, you're thinking, wow, you see what he brings. He's got a great record in terms of, you know, when he plays, we win, etc. But I just thought, wow, like, people weren't even doing great skill, not even pacey plays, were just knocking it past him. And he looked like he was running through treacle. I you know, and again, it transpired in Robin's post-match, you know, sort of comments that he'd missed a whole week of training and so had Fads and people had been, you know, off with COVID, etc. So it's all made sense, you know, without sounding like excuses. It did make sense and it sort of made me go, right, that's probably why a lot of these players just were way below par.
I mean, lads, you know, I'm the biggest Liam Kelly fan that probably is on this planet. I think I'm a bigger Liam Kelly fan than Liam Kelly is of himself, to be honest. But I think he's looked really, really poor over the last few games. And I think we've always said, haven't we, that Liam Kelly sort of typifies the Coventry performance. If he plays well, we play well.
Agreed.
And if he doesn't, we don't. And, you know, I think that's shown over the last few games that he's played. But one player I do want to mention, who sort of come into his own, and we'll talk about him again against Derby, is Ben Sheaf. Now, obviously, he's got a lot of critics, but he seems to be standing up to those critics at the moment, Dave, doesn't he, in some great performances?
Yeah, 100%. I've always said that Sheaf gives you pretty much what Kelly gives you, to be honest, but a bit more in attack. And I know Kelly's set up goals this season and stuff, but some of the switch play that Sheaf's done has been Hamer-esque. And especially if Hamer is out injured at times, then we're going to need that, because otherwise I don't really have that much going forward. But from a defensive point of view and breaking it down, it seems like he sort of just gets his body in the way and gets the right side of players. And yeah, I think a lot of people you only have to look at the post that we put out on the Twitter page that, you know, Ben Sheaf appreciation Fred is now starting to get proper traction. And you can see that. And yeah, I'm sure he's still got his critics, but he has really come into himself. I think we could always see that the talent was there. He just needed to have the confidence to produce it on the pitch. And I think that he's shown it in glimpses, but he's starting to be one of our most consistent players.
And a long run of games helps towards that. I mean, you look, he's started consecutive games now for, you know, the last four or five matches. So that will help, and that will breed more confidence for him as well, won't it?
Yeah, 100%. And every player needs game time for confidence. But I think he certainly does look like a confidence player. And you can tell that when he makes a mistake, he does seem to sort of drop off over the next 5-10 minutes when he's trying to find his feet again. And, you know, some of those mistakes have been really, you know, hammered on social media. And I'm sure players do see them.
We know that from O'Hare's Christmas Day tweet to 7865-4321.
Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, so it can only help him by playing there. It can only help him, you know, by knowing that, you know, Robbins is pretty much putting him as one of the first on the team sheet. And yeah, long may the performances continue.
Any other thoughts from that Millwall game before we move on?
No, other let's than move
to
on.
Shelve it. Never, yeah, ever discuss it again.
I agree. Let's move on.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Next up for the Sky Blues, it was a game against Derby County at the CBS Arena, the third round of the most famous cup competition in the world, the FA Cup. Quite a shallow attendance, shall we say, of 8,896, but that's probably down to obviously an early kickoff and us having played Derby not so long ago too. Let's start with the stats, Dave. Not great reading, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, not great reading. And we don't have full stats because obviously we usually get them from our supplier, EFL Near Post. They're really, really good guys. But they use whoscored.com, as does Andy, of course. And we do for a lot of our stuff. And we're not deemed high enough to get stats on whoscored.com. So until we play a Premiership team, or we are a Premiership team, we just have to use the bog standard Sky, which unfortunately don't change. Was 38% possession for us versus 62, obviously. 7 shots versus 7. One on target for us and 2 for Derby. 6 corners versus 12. 9 fouls versus 10. And 1 yellow card versus 2. So, yeah, possession proper lacking. But obviously the wonky stat was the goal, and that went to the Sky Blues.
Yep, 1 on target, 1 goal, 1-0. That's more than enough for me. Ross, let's talk about this lineup then. A few changes. But overall, the squad looking great. You know, the sub bench looking really good as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we obviously spoke, all of us of the Sky Blues Extra team, and I said that I wanted to see first team players play this game, and I was told not to get my hopes up. But actually, I thought the team was pretty strong, apart from really Shipley and Wilson. The rest of those, 100%, you know, you could see starting in the league. So it was good, because I think there's been players who have not been training, and this is the perfect game where there was less pressure on it. Obviously, we want to win, but players could come in and try and get some minutes. Clark Salter, for example, he's not played in a couple of 6-7 weeks or so. So it was good to get him back. Players, and then on the bench, Martin Waghorn, a chance to get him back on the bench. I mean, I sort of forgot about him. So obviously, it's good to have him back, because I think we have missed him, and I think Victor's missed him as well. So obviously, yeah, it was a good team. He obviously went for the box with Shipley and Allen just behind Godden. So it was interesting to see how that was going to shape up. And obviously, in the FA Cup, you get the 9 substitutes. So it was nice to sort of see, you know, Fabio Tavares and Eccles and Josh Reid on the bench. Although Eccles was the only one who came on. But it was good to see the sort of squad looking a bit fuller than it has done in the previous weeks.
Absolutely. I think Waghorn is a real key to getting back in not in the team necessarily, just in the squad. I mean, 31 years of age, he's been there, done that. His experience is going to be absolutely vital, I would say, over the next few months. And I think it was Preston away was his last match, which is seems an age ago.
Well, I remember he started in the, you know, when we got smashed by Luton, and then he started.
That didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen. But then the next game he had COVID, the Fulham, when we smashed Fulham. And then he I don't think he started a game since. He's maybe had like one. He had COVID, got back, and then got injured. And that sort of coincided with Victor Gyökeres sort of just, you know, falling away in terms of his sort of form. And people will go, people sort of slagged off Waghorn earlier in the season because, you know, he scored one goal, and he wasn't necessarily having that many shots or whatever it might be. But there's certain games where when Victor was having that purple patch, scoring one or two every single game, Waghorn was involved, whether it was the direct assist or the assist to the assist, and he was dropping deeper. He was the perfect foil for Gyökeres. For example, that Peterborough game, 3-0, he was involved in every goal in some way, shape or form. So
he also attracts attention, doesn't he, from the defensive line, because they're scared of him. They know what that man can do.
Well, exactly that. And I think that was when we had a great partnership. I mean, obviously he's been injured, had COVID. You know, Victor's sort of, you know, lost his way a little bit and has sort of just become a bit desperate because he's obviously, you know, wants to get back on form. So it would be important to have Waghorn back, because I think it just offers us another dimension and another partnership. It'd be quite interesting because I don't think we've seen Godden and Waghorn up top, you know, so it potentially opens up that door. So I'm excited to have him back, because I think he just offers that sort of experience and that quality.
Absolutely. Options are absolutely vital. Let's talk about the game then. Early chance for Derby to kick us off. Ball back across the box, not too dissimilar to the goal Huddersfield scored a couple of weeks ago. Tom Lawrence with the effort, he caught it sweet, but Ben Wilson was equal to it, wasn't he, Dave? A really smart stop, especially so early in the game.
Yeah, it was a really smart stop. I think fans were back.
Easy for
they?
You to say.
Fans were back in the ground, and he's obviously told a family member, look, if Wong is fizzed at me early doors, I'm going to get, you know, make sure you got the camera ready, because I'm going to make the most of it.
And he certainly
did that, yeah, because he wasn't quite at full stretch, but he was as high as I've ever seen him in the air, I think. But yeah, great save. And but we just switched off a bit, didn't we? And actually, I think Derby scored when they came to us last time, a similar goal like that, where yes, it was squared across, squared, and we couldn't deal with it. So, yeah, great save by Ben Wilson, and definitely one where he'd be hoping photographers from the Telegraph would have been there.
The Ben Wilson, Simon Moore situation. Obviously, Ben's played the last two games now, did a decent job. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, the Telegraph are saying it's a headache for Robins, but surely it's much more simpler than that. Simon Moore gets in every day.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, I think that is a telegraph clickbait.
No.
If I'm honest.
No, stop it.
Think that's hoping that the algorithm puts a few more pounds in the coffers, because I don't think it's, I don't think there's really a debate or a headache there at the moment. And that goes to show basically when, you know, Simon Moore's been picked by Robin on every occasion that he could be. I think the FA Cup was a chance for minutes. I would expect Sidemore to come back in, but I don't know. I suppose he was available for the FA Cup, so there was probably a decision there. But maybe it was through a lack of training or something like that from the fallout from before, right? For the reason that Simon missed Millwall. So I do expect normal service to be resumed on Saturday, but on the performance that Wilson gave, I wouldn't be fussed either way.
Good to hear. Ross, energy was lacking in those early stages, wasn't it? Very sloppy from the Sky Blues.
Yeah, it was energy and that word rhythm again. We just carried on from where we left off against Millwall, which was disappointing. And I thought Derby, yeah, for the first 10-12 minutes, we were really poor. And I was sat there thinking, because they started with a real intensity and we just looked half asleep. And as we've already spoke about, really good chance, great save from Wilson. If Derby got an early goal, you wonder where the game may have gone. Because, as Robin said, we can't, go for it or go after teams at the moment, the way people, fitness, etc. and stuff like that. So I would have been concerned that the game could have just gone away from us if we'd conceded that goal or that chance. But early on, first 10-15 minutes was poor. And like you say, there's that energy again. We just looked sort of sluggish and lethargic to get around the pitch, which just hasn't been us this season. We've been high press and energy and looked super fit, and that's why we've scored so many late goals, because we've just been able to keep going and going, and we just seem to have none of that early on.
Do you think we're lacking in belief? Is that another sort of a buzzword? Obviously early in the season we looked like we had it in abundance, didn't we? But now it seems to sort of, come out of our game a little bit. The passing's not as sharp or as quick.
But it was against Huddersfield, and that was only two games ago. Like, of all the passing, I thought we controlled that game. And that was only two games ago, although it was, probably approaching 7 weeks ago. So I think individual players may be suffering with a little lack of belief. I think maybe Callum O'Hare, he reads and sees all the stuff, and he knows that, one goal, he could have had a lot more. Victor's clearly, he'll be disappointed, because he had such a great start to the season, hasn't scored since the Fulham brace. So that's over 10 games ago, isn't it? So I think individual players may be lacking a bit of belief compared to what they had at the start of the season. I think as a team, there's absolutely no reason why we should be, because look where we are, and we just got to get everyone back fit again, get that rhythm back. And I think we're one win away and taking our chances away from getting that confidence back flowing through the team.
One man who has a lot of confidence in his own ability is Matty Godden, but let's talk about this chance, boys, because absolutely, I think this is probably the worst finish I've ever seen from this man. I think it's still rising now, isn't it? Oh. I think NASA have been called in to look for it for the ball. But awful finish, Dave, wasn't it? Oh.
Yeah, but look, there's no one harder on themselves than Godden. He actually alluded to it, didn't he? In his, he said if someone's on the M6, they might be able to find the ball. Look, it was very unlike him in that situation. He's probably the one you'd want over anyone, to be honest. But it was a really golden opportunity, and you would expect him to have worked. Well, not the keeper, but the goal, there and. On this occasion, he didn't. It was on his wrong foot, of course, but still, no really excuses. He probably does that day in, day out at training, and more than anyone, I think he'll be kicking himself. But yeah, golden opportunity, but it's one of them. We can't always, always going to react and finish. And I'm sure, like I say, he is as frustrated as anyone else. But it did come from the press, and it felt like we had that a bit more against Derby, and I think that's something that we've lacked for quite some time in the games, and that all came from that. They played into trouble because of the pressure that we're putting on them.
One thing I have noticed this season, we don't, as fans, we don't seem to get on the players' back as much. Have you noticed that? You know, when a chance goes astray, we kind of feel like, you know, we'll get another opportunity at some point during this game, so, you know, let's get behind them. Whereas in previous seasons, we would always get on the players' back. Is that something you guys have noticed, or is that just me?
No, I agree.
I think it sounds just me.
No, I do agree. I think this season, I think scoring so many late goals, as we have done, it gives you that belief. And in pretty much every game, especially home games, in basically every single one, apart from Millwall, really, and probably West Brom, even though we did, you know, get consolation later on, you sort of felt like, actually, yeah, it doesn't matter even if the opposition scored, we're gonna get one. And even apart from Ben Sheaf sometimes, but again, I think that's more social media criticism. I think actually in the ground, I think people are starting to see actually a lot of the good stuff he does. And, you know, Dave and yourself touched on it earlier. I think he, in the ground, there is a lot more tolerance than has been there even 3-4 seasons ago, you know, when we were in League One at the Rico at the time. I felt like someone would miss a chance and, you know, the boos would be out and it was just all a bit toxic, you know, and I don't think that helps the players. Whereas this season, I feel like the reason why we've scored so many late goals and we've been able to turn it up a gear and increase their urgency is because the fans have been nothing but behind the team. So I completely agree, and I think that's driven the players on.
Good to hear. Game was obviously a bit scrappy from there on in, but we did create another golden opportunity, wasn't it? For Jamie Allen. Recycled a free kick well, and again, seemingly with all the time in the world, he couldn't direct it into the corner and hit the post. And that has been the sort of downfall, hasn't it, Ross, for the Sky Blues over the last couple of weeks?
100%. I mean, you could go back to that Huddersfield game. I think he hit the post in that game as well, didn't he, in the second half? The thing I always look at when we create these golden opportunities is, if that's falling to the opposition, are we getting away with that? And to me, the answer is just no. Do you know what I mean? I don't think we are. He hit it well. I thought it was a goal at the time from where I was sat. Obviously, it bounced off the post. And that was a period in the game. It was actually that golden chance where we worked Derby out. We knew what they were trying to do. Allsop can't play out from the back. And we put pressure. And again, it was a great chance. I thought it was a goal. And he's been a bit unlucky, Jamie Allen. Huddersfield strike was a good one, bounced off the post. This one, again, he's probably disappointed because if that's even slightly closer to the keeper, he was just rooted. That would have been a goal. So it was coming. The goal was coming at that point. And, we picked it up, and that was our best spell in the game.
We haven't spoke since Jamie Allen signed his new contract as well, which is, you know, he's worked well for that, hasn't he?
Well, I want to take a bit of humble pie, to be fair, because in the
oh no, I think every fan
everyone does
humble pie.
But I mean, I remember saying I thought I would have almost been pleased if we'd sold him in the summer, you know. And I'll sit here and say I thought actually, you know, there's rumours about Rotherham, Ipswich, whatever. I thought yeah, sell him. I thought I was done with him. Really, I thought that he didn't have anything to offer. Clearly Robbins wasn't playing him either, so it wasn't like he was, you know, he was just out of the squad. And I just thought, we just need to move him on. And then this season, he was playing in centre mid with Hamer. I remember Cardiff and Middlesbrough and some other, Peterborough as well. He was just so good. His energy.
And the Reading game.
He scored. And his just whole demeanour looks like, he looks so much happier. Like, even on social media, he's like posting more things, which he never did last season. His belief, 100%. So, I mean, he's someone who probably suffered from a lack of belief last season, and this season, every time we score, he's like, he's so passionate. You actually watch him against Millwall.
Yeah,
watch him
Saturday against Derby as well. He's going ballistic.
Exactly. But he was the only player, and actually, he was the only one who came out of Millwall with any credit with me, because he was the only one who actually sort of showed that a bit of a aggression at the ref, because Millwall were like time wasting. We didn't even speak about that. Yeah, it was ridiculous. But Jamie Allen was like the only player we had who actually going up, like trying to sort of, you know, protest, and, you know, so he had that frustration as well. So I think it's fully deserved, that new contract. He impressed in pre-season, and fair play to him. And now we look at him and go, actually, he's a real, credible option that we've got in our midfield.
Dave, you happy with his extension?
Yeah, 100%. I think he's always been a player that gives us a bit more sort of fizz in the middle of the park, and he works his socks off. You always see that. And he's always good for a goal as well. You know, he knows where the net is at times when he's in the right position. Very unlucky not to add to his tally on the weekend. And yeah, I think that it's important at the moment that we've got one, competition for places, and two, people are, you know, if there are contract issues, I guess, that they're tied up as soon as, you know, contractually possible, I guess, to make people, you know, feel a bit at home, right? That's what anyone in any walk of life wants to know, they've got a future. And Jamie Allen, hopefully his performances will continue or pick up, that he's now got that, not, you know, one less thing to worry about.
Talked about him celebrating the goal. Let's talk about that goal. Set piece goal, you know, ring the klaxon, guys, because we've scored from the set piece. Great delivery again from Kane. I honestly don't know what the QPR fans are on about Kane. He's been an absolute revelation in a sky blue shirt so far. And Hyam at the back post, really good header, intelligent header across the face of the goal, and it goes in. But Godden did do his best to sort of claim it, Dave, didn't he?
Yeah, you can't take anything away from Godden. He is a goal scorer and poacher, and he will do whatever he can to get on the end of something. And that was no different, was it, on here? But Hyam's been threatening this all season. I don't think he has scored already, has he, in the league?
No,
I'm pretty confident he hasn't.
Yeah.
But he has threatened it all season. He has been, I think, from set pieces, a bit of a threat. And I've been surprised not to see him score, but he, you know, he's actually been a lot more dangerous in the attacking. You know, whereas before you'd think, you know, he's pretty solid defender and that, but he didn't give you that much going forward. But I think he's been on the end of a lot, and yeah, obviously a testament to that is this goal that he got the weekend. Great header, and you know, it hopefully more to come, because we need to start scoring from set pieces, because God knows we're not doing as many from open play as we were at the start of the season. But yeah, great header by Hyam, and I think that, you know, he's really improved his attacking sort of, you know, prowess this season. I think, you know, just he's just come such a long way, hasn't he? And I just saw on Twitter, you know, replied to one of our posts of who is Mark Robbins' best signing. You know, we got Hyam on a free, and he's been on one hell of a journey. And you'd have to say the way that he has gone from there and helped us in every single division that we've been in pretty much every league game, you know, the amount of minutes he's racked up with the club, he's been a, you know, for a freebie, he has been a sensation and signing, really, from Mark Robbins. And he's still, you know, at the highest level that we're at for a long, long time, delivering, you know, impressive performances. So yeah, hats off to Hyam. I'm really glad for him to get a goal, as was, you know, everyone. You could see it meant a lot to people that Hyam got a goal.
I was kind of hoping it was Godden, because I did have him on my bet, Coventry to win the first half, Godden to score and draw second half. So yeah, very frustrated that mate Godden didn't get credited with the goal, but really pleased for Dom. He's had his critics this season with some, you know, not poor performances, but maybe not as good as the other two centre halves. And it's good to see him get a goal, breed that confidence back up. And I don't know if you listened to the podcast me and Matt did just before Christmas. We're touting him for a Scotland call up. You know, could you see that on the cards, Ross?
I could. I don't see why not. I think he's been very, very good this season. I think he's benefited from moving over to and playing on the right side of the back three. And that's the thing we've got to bear in mind. You know, for the last previous seasons, he's been playing, you know, on the left side. And obviously, he's right-footed. So obviously, Clark Sauter coming in has, you know, given that balance to the back four and back five, sorry. And Hyam's benefited as well. No reason why not. I mean, you look at some of the other people who get called up for, like, Scotland and Wales and countries like that from the Championship. I think he's proving himself to be an incredibly solid centre-back. I really do. So I don't see any reason why not. I think, you know, behind Fads, he's been our next best defender this season.
Let's start the hashtag now, Hyam to Qatar. Maybe get some traction. What do you reckon?
Could do. I mean, he's in it with a chance because of Scottish connections. That, you know, they really are loosely, aren't they? When a lot of these teams, I wanted to call them regional, but, you know, other than England, you know, they do sometimes really sort of pushed the boundaries of what is classed as a
I think his dog once had a ton of tea cake, so he's allowed to play for Scotland.
Yeah, and his favourite drink's Iron Brew, but yeah, no more generalisations. But no, it you know, so that's you look at it, don't you, and you think he's doing it week in, week out in the Championship. And Scotland draft a lot of players in from you know, various leagues, but would be more than happy, I think, with someone like Dom to call on, because he's very solid. He knows what his job is, and he's kind of Mr. Dependable. I know he's played a few rogue passes and stuff this season, but generally, the reason he's ignored a lot is actually because he's so consistent and he kind of goes under the radar.
Let's move on from the good to, well, not necessarily bad, but let's say the dip in performances from Fankity Dabo. The curious case of Fankity Dabo, I'm calling this little section of the pod. Obviously, he's playing on the left, and we know he doesn't favour that, but he just doesn't see him himself, boys, does he? You know, he was up against Poundland's answer to Adama Traore in Obasele on Saturday, but not just Saturday. It's been his performances over the last few games. He just doesn't see him himself. What would you put that down to, Ross?
I don't know, really. I mean, I think he's obviously, I think initially when we signed Todd Kane, it was for Todd Kane to be able to play on either side and Dabo would stay at right wing back. I think we had a couple of games where Kane didn't do particularly well at sort of left wing back. So Dabo's been the one to sort of move over there. And he's been playing at sort of, he played centre back, didn't he, against West Brom. I don't know. I don't know what it's down to be honest, because you know, last year he was played with injuries. This year he's, you know, he's been fit for the vast majority of the season. And he is a really good player. I really like Dabo. I don't know what it is, to be honest. He just, he had a mare on the weekend against Derby, though. I mean, he got absolutely destroyed from the first minute until the last minute he went off. But I'm not going to like crucify him for like, you know, that one game. But what you say is right. He hasn't been on it. I don't know what I'd put it down to. I mean, have you got any ideas, Dino? Because I don't know what I'd say in terms of what's caused it.
I just don't think we are playing with our wing backs going as direct as we used to. They're not, you know, sort of running completely down the wing. I think he's been held back a little bit and maybe he's just not used to that.
I think it's belief, actually.
I think he's been pegged back as well a lot, you know. Although we play those wing backs, I think up against a lot of opposition, especially at home, I've seen it this season where we do seem to be getting a bit pegged back in those positions. And I don't think that he's the most comfortable in that, really. I think he's, you know, the most comfortable he is, you know, final third, really, isn't it? Or the sort of halfway line. And it's just, I think that could be a little bit, his defensive abilities are definitely aren't as good as his attacking. But I don't know, he just seems, I'm not sure if it's an injury, but he doesn't seem to be, you know, I looked at even at the weekend, but before that, you know, passes have been not hit with conviction. He's missing players, you know, of passes, then they're not to feet or, you know, they're just a bit wayward. He's been
has
out
he got
of
an
position.
Assist this season? Has he got an assist this season?
No.
Because
one yellow card, one red card.
Because Todd Kane, and obviously, you know, he scored and got, you know, several assists. And I agree. I think his final ball has been poor. And I think the other thing is, I think I remember the Swansea game. He tried once or twice to get past their left back. He failed. And then when that happens, he then just loses all confidence. I think if Dabo's first run in the game and he gets the better of his sort of counterpart, I think he has a good game, but I think the last few games what you said, Dave, he's just sort of been pegged back, I think, by whoever he's playing against, and he's found it difficult. And I was more really disappointed with his defending against Derby, to be honest. He just wasn't tracking runners. I mean, the West Brom goal, I know he's playing right centre back, but he just let the guy run off him. You know, run straight through. And he did this time and time again on Saturday as well. And I just thought, where's the communication? There just wasn't that sort of cohesive togetherness and defensive structure that we've been seeing. And I don't know, it's when the wing backs are flying up and really high, almost like wingers, and the Fulham game is the clearest one to remember that from, then we look unbelievable. But you agree, it looks like we're playing more of a five at the moment rather than a three with the wing backs playing up the wing.
I think you said the right word there, confidence. I mean, we're a passing side, right? And he's the 14th ranked player on our team with passing accuracy down at, you know, below 75%.
Yeah,
and that can't be the case. If you're in that position on the right hand side of the wing backs, you're involved in the game a majority of the time.
Yeah,
you know, the way we play, and you can't have your passing percentage in those sort of figures.
And we've seen that. I think I'd be intrigued to know how much that was, you know, how much that's been lifted over the last sort of 7 or 8 fixtures, because he's just it's his distribution just seems to be way, way off. It used to be out of count on it, you know, and like you say, maybe he's if he's not fully fit, or if he isn't, then maybe he's concerned about losing the ball and then getting back or being turned. I just don't know. But he doesn't seem to be hitting the same levels that you know, he does seem to be having a bit of a season in the one where he was injured and he kept coming back too quickly. It does seem that his form is at that sort of level at the moment, whereas we've seen him just at so many higher levels in this that it's a frustration. I'm sure it would be for him as well.
Maybe it's just a wing back issue, because I'm looking now, Mattson's below Dabo at 73%.
Again, so that also doesn't surprise me, because his distribution has been his sort of decision making at times is really leaves a lot to be desired. He just doesn't seem to he seems to be a player that panics when he's sort of backed into a corner at times, and if he can't go back then he'll just force it, whereas obviously some players are a lot more confident about having the ball at their feet and not forcing it. But that also doesn't surprise me. I'm not sure if it's a wing back thing. I suppose we do play out from the back, we do hit, you know, wing backs early for them to build, but I don't know what it is, but they do both seem to be obviously quite wasteful with the ball.
And that's important. If, you know, if we're going to utilise the wing back formation, then, you know, they've got to be better. I think, and I brought this up in the group chat, for me, one of the big problems is that his bad performances, I'm talking about Fantasy Dabo here, hasn't seen him being dropped. So it kind of puts him in a sort of a false sense of security and thinking, well, Todd Kane's on the bench. When he's been called upon, he's played really well, he's scored, he's assisted, but I'm in the team ahead of him, so I must be doing well. That's probably his mindset. You know, it's not down to a lack of competition.
Yeah, yeah.
So why is he getting in the team when, you know, his performances haven't really merited it?
He's been shoehorned in at sometimes. That to me was just like, why are we forced to put him in? I mean, to me, it's, you know, you hear players and managers say it all the time, you know, it's good to have good competition.
It was an odd one when Rose was fit, wasn't it?
It was bizarre. It was that West Brom game. I remember thinking, like, why? Just start Todd Kane. He's literally scored the equaliser against Bournemouth. He's been getting assists from set pieces, you know, because Fads, that was from a corner against West Brom. That was a Kane corner. So actually, he's been putting in good deliveries. And at the end of the day, he's got to start, and then it's got to be down to Dabo to do, you know, when he gets an opportunity. And as a sub, I actually think he could make a good impact, because he is powerful and he has got a good pace when he uses it right. But I agree with you, Dino. I think him just continuing to be played, even out of position, at the expense of an actual centre back, was a bit bizarre. And then he was at fault for the West Brom's first goal. So again, that can't help his confidence, can it? When you're playing out of position and then you're at fault for the goal. I think he just needs, a break just to get his belief back.
I think he's going to have a break though, Dave, isn't he? You've got an update on Dabo?
I mean, he went off, didn't he, on Saturday. So it whether he is still injured, I'm not too sure. We have to hopefully wait until we hear on Saturday. Hopefully he isn't, because we're still a little bit light, aren't we, in that position?
Defensively, yeah.
Especially, so Mattson didn't feature on the weekend, and that could, you know, possibly if he's fit, it might be for FA Cup reasons, but it may be that he's carrying a knock still. So, yeah, we could be a little bit light. So hopefully not, but if that is the case, it would be really, really interesting to then see what we do. You know, maybe it could even be a chance for Eccles to come in and, you know, and keen to obviously start one of the other sides.
Where's Julian Da Costa in your thoughts here? Has anyone seen Julian Da Costa? That's what we're looking at. That's what we're asking here. Has anyone seen him?
I mean, I just think that there's a reason why Eccles was brought into the squad in with the ability to do that on Saturday, and maybe Robin sees him as someone that's now making his way into the first team.
Very true. Let's move on then from the Dabo chat. His nemesis, Ebisele, had a shot, didn't he, in that second half, but Wilson again equal to it. Great shot stopper, isn't he, Ben Wilson, Dave?
Yeah, and look, he's not. He's
oh God, Siri, leave me alone.
Okay.
Oh God, she's so annoying. I've got Alexa in my.
I was going to say,
Siri,
you're the most
Siri on my
gadget
on
man,
watch.
Isn't it? You've got Alexa gadget. One side, Siri the other side. I bet you've got a calculator on the go with upside down spelling boobies, haven't you?
That's only at weekends.
But yeah, no, Wilson, look, for me, I think he really, really helped us in the second part of, the first season in the Championship. And I think actually it showed when Morosi moved on that Robbins felt the same. And he really stepped up in it. And I think he was brilliant. And it's great to be able to have that. We want that in all positions, right? We're not really a club that can afford to have that in all positions, like your Bournemouths and stuff like that. But if you can get two decent keepers, two decent right backs, you know, a whole host of strikers, you're sort of on the way to being able to be consistent all of the time. And regardless of who plays this weekend, yeah, Wilson, like I said earlier, had a really, really good game on the weekend. And being able to call on a second keeper, if that's what he is, then it's brilliant, because we need that, especially because we do seem to leak the odd chance, don't we?
Absolutely. Although we didn't leak too many more chances in this game, it sort of petered out at the end. But, you know, I think the important thing was the win, wasn't it? The first in 2 months since that 3-2 victory over Bristol in the league. But Ross, it was kind of like we needed that to sort of breed confidence now into what we've already discussed is going to be a hectic schedule, isn't it?
100%. I mean, yeah, we all wanted to get through to the next round. We all loved the FA Cup. I think the players were delighted to get through as well. But the other thing for me was there was a lot of players who needed minutes and needed to get some match sharpness back ahead of a big, important run of games now, starting with Peterborough on the weekend. So, you know, players like Dabo, players like, you know, Jake Clark-Salter, they need minutes. And because they've not had many of them over the past sort of month, 5-6 weeks or so. So I think it confidence can only give us confidence to get a win and to get through to the next round. And hopefully we can back that up now. And it would just give some of these players that bit of belief.
Absolutely. Talking about the draw, the fourth round draw sees us travel down to the south coast to Premier League Southampton in what I'm billing as the Sisu Derby, after Southampton were obviously very close to be taken over by Sisu before us. Chaps, what do you make of the draw? There's kind of lots of differencing opinions on this one, isn't it?
I'm happy with it. I think, it's fine, isn't it? It would have been nicer to have got a league one or league two or even lower than that to sort of guarantee us.
Oh, it has. You can. There's never a guarantee in the FA.
Not a guarantee, but you know, to sort of progress, especially perhaps at home. And the next best thing to that is an Arsenal, Liverpool, Man United, Spurs, I suppose, and others away from home for a nice trip. But, you know, it could have been a lot worse. And, you know, we're actually, they'll be playing players that squad players, you would imagine, to be getting minutes into them. And we've actually got a decent chance, you know, against them. So, yeah, I'm quite happy with this draw. I'll see what Ross thinks.
I think it's a good draw. I mean, the only thing I wanted was us to avoid another Championship team, because I just find those ones sort of incredibly boring.
Do you guys do that thing that I do when the draw's happening? It's really exciting and there's a team comes out, we go like 26, Barnsley, and you're like, no,
stood up.
Everyone does.
I'll be honest, when Southampton came out, I did say no when Sam's came out. I was like, no. And it was more like, because I guess like Dave, I wanted either a team at home. I wanted a home draw mainly. But actually sort of thinking about it, you know, once it came out, I thought, well, actually, Southampton's a winnable game. Huddersfield went and beat Burnley, you know, in the third round.
It's the next round, isn't it, where you could ultimately not be guaranteed, but you've got a better chance of getting an away, well, if it is away, a Premier League side, right?
The fifth round.
It could be a good fixture. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think it's a good draw. I think it's a winnable game. Depending on how they get on in their Premier League games between now and then, they may have to, you know, they may be prioritising that because they're certainly not out of the danger of the relegation places in the Premier League. So I actually think there's a good opportunity. We'll take a big, sizable crowd down, I'm sure. And I think actually if we're on it and if we can find a rhythm between now and then and we can pick up some wins in the league, I think we could go there and give them a really good game.
There's also actually, looking at the draw itself, I think we've got a decent chance to be on TV as well. Which,
yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
Southampton have got, you know, Southampton get good crowds. They're a well-supported club. So that's a lot of money we're going to get because you get 50% of the ticket sales for cup games. So for me, I can only see positives. And Ross, you said about it being potentially winnable. It's definitely going to be winnable. You know, Southampton aren't in the greatest form in the league. Like you say, there's a lot can happen, obviously, over the next few weeks. They haven't played much as well with obviously postponed games. So I think it's a really, really good draw. It could have been a lot worse. I mean, Chelsea were the next one out. And I know for the money spinning tie, Chelsea away would be great. But what about the potential of being in the fifth round? That, for me, that's even more enticing if you know.
I agree. 100%. Yeah. I want a cup run. I want to win the FA Cup. Do you know what I mean?
You heard it here first. Ross is saying that we're going to win the FA.
No, I didn't know. No, hang on. I didn't say we're going to. I said I want us to. I want us to get through. I want us to get as far as we can.
You're slagging us off against Millwall. Now we're going to win the FA Cup. It's incredible turnaround.
He's booked his hotel and everything.
He said book it now and then leave the room for another couple of months later as well. Around the same time, and then we'll do two fixtures there. Yeah,
I want us to get through, and look, I want us to get to the, you know, when we got Chelsea before in the quarterfinal, if you get to the quarterfinals or whatever, that, you know, there's no reason why not, actually. I mean, I think we could go and beat Southampton. We can give them a good, you know, we may lose. All you want is a good performance. But it was like when we played Brighton and we were in League 2 at the time.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of. And actually, you forget actually how far we've come since that team. That was, you know, they played a strong team.
Because they were games where you were going with no hope, wasn't it? When you went away to Spurs or away to Brighton or whatever, you just go in there for a day out, really, I think.
Yes.
Whereas this doesn't feel like that, actually. It feels like we can take a really big crowd and possibly turn them over.
100%. So, yeah, bring them on.
And VAR as well, VAR.
Yeah,
first
exactly.
Game for the Sky Blues under VAR.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Ahead of that, though, the Sky Blues are back in league action on Saturday for what will be the second time in 5 weeks when we travel to London Road to face relegation-threatened Peterborough. Dave, two teams not in the greatest of form league-wise, so what's your thoughts ahead of this one? Kind of feels like the perfect game for the Sky Blues to get back to winning ways in the league.
Absolutely. I mean, beat against Blackpool. A home win, which I think wasn't lucky, but it was quite a tight game against Millwall, you know, beat by Forest, Barnsley, hammered away at Blackburn. Sorry. It really is. I mean, they've conceded, or their goal difference is the worst, isn't it, in the league, if I'm right. So it seems like if we can get back to some of the form that we were showing when we were, you know, permanent fixtures in the playoffs, and they, you know, don't suddenly have a spike of, you know, performance from their win in the FA Cup as well, then, yeah, albeit we should really be no less than a point, I think, for this fixture.
They didn't offer much in that reverse fixture in September, did they, Ross? The Sky Blues obviously ran out 3-0 winners on that occasion. Are your lips sort of tingling at the thought of doing the double over somebody?
Well, I'm not, I don't know about tingling. I want us to beat Peterborough. I mean, I guess look, Peterborough, I think we need to go in there and win, to be honest. I would be disappointed with the point. I think the one thing they can do is they can keep the ball. So they were one of the teams, actually, who had a good amount of possession, you know, when we were in that good spell. But we were creating chances, and it looked like it's just a matter of time until we scored. And then we did, and we scored three in the space of 7 minutes or so. So it would be good to do the double over them. It'd be good to get another away win, because our home form is sort of stuttered. When I say stuttered, there's just been a few more draws and the odd little defeat in there. But our away form, I think it's always important. If we this time last season, going to Peterborough away would have been like us going to Rotherham away or Wickham away. We do need to try and beat them. So I want to get 3 points. I'd be disappointed with a draw. And I think if we turn up and we show our quality, then we should have too much for them, and we can get back to winning ways.
So it's mainly down to the attitude that the Sky Blues turn up with.
We just need to pass the ball. It's what we discussed, and it was lacking in the Derby and the Millwall game, was that our passing just didn't seem as crisp. It was sort of it wasn't, they weren't very accurate. It wasn't to
feet. We need that free flowing football.
We do,
back, don't we?
When we have to take an extra touch, yeah.
Even at Bournemouth away, and I know it's Bournemouth away, but we didn't really show it there until we had went down to, they went down to 10 men. And I just think we need to get back to that sort of fast break that we had. It seems to have gone, doesn't it? And even Saturday, I don't think we really displayed it that much. Well, we had one shot on target, didn't we? So we just need to get back to putting those wing backs, like you say, Ross, into the position and forcing chances. Teams like this will crumble, won't they?
They will. And that's what we did against Peter in the first game. It took us till 64 minutes or something to score the first goal. But no one was panicking, because we were just controlling it. Alan and Hamer in midfield, they were pinging it out. Mattson and Kane were really high up the pitch. And we had the two up top as well, and O'Hare, who actually we haven't mentioned, obviously his new contract extension, which is exciting. I think if we create the chances, and we just keep playing with that intensity, and we don't let it drop, then we know we create chances, and it's just about taking them. And then if we do, I think we'll pick up 3 points.
So how would you approach this one then, David? Obviously, we talked about issues with the wing backs, but other than that, we're sort of close to full strength. So, the lack of game time has maybe helped in that regard.
Yeah, I think we've got to go two up top. We can't be doing this one up top away from home. When you look at how many goals they've conceded. It would be obviously a standard for Godden to start. And then it's up for grabs, isn't it, that other spot, really. Jokeres got a minute or so on the weekend, so not really sure where he is. Walker has been given a couple of opportunities. People may not agree with me, but I'm not sure he's taken them. And Waghorn looks like he's sort of back in the fold, so don't know. It'd be interesting to see who partners Godden, but definitely two up top. And that sort of, if we can squeeze those players in the attacking midfield roles as well, because I think we've really got to just be not all out attack, but I can't see them threatening us that much at the back. So I think we've got to, we've got to be ultra attacking for this one.
Absolutely. All right, let's look at some predictions then. Ross, do you want to kick us off with yours? We'll take yours for the Tweet League as well this week.
Go on then. We'll go with 2-1 Sky Blues.
2-1 away win. Dave, go on.
Yeah, I'm going to go for 2-0 win.
Yeah, I'm of that same opinion. I just can't see Peterborough scoring. I think they've got a real lack of firepower. But saying that, I've probably put the absolute stinkers on us and we'll lose 3-0. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's a positive result for the Sky Blues. Let's have a quick chat about O'Hare, because you just mentioned it. I know we're running short on time, but really good to see that, isn't it? Tying O'Hare down for until 2024, hopefully squashes any rumours of him leaving either this January or in the summer, Dave.
Yeah, 100%. And like I said, players need to know that they, taken seriously, I guess, in knowing where they are and what their job is, and that, that helps him go forward. And yeah, I think the, you know, the I can't think of the word, but the pessimist in us, I suppose, would be that we've tied him up now, and that would obviously give us a chance to increase his value, because we wouldn't be pushed to sell him, I guess, if there was an, you know, a contract expiry and a transfer coming up. So that would be good. But no, I think it's great. It shows a lot about the club, doesn't it? And what we're trying to do and what we're trying to build with. And we're tying up our key players. And I think it would be Hamer would be one next that we'd like to see, because there's obviously been rumours. And he is influential in what we do, I think. And that goes to show. And I think we really miss him when he's not on the pitch. And I think that would be another one that we'd like to get done. But great for Cal and just a really good sign and show of commitment, I think, from the club.
That's a nice way to end it this week, lads. Thank you for your input. As always, enjoy the game on Saturday. As always, a big thank you to our sponsors too at Shortland Horn for their continued support. And don't forget to get your predictions in for the Tweet League when they open later this week. We'll be back, of course, next week with another episode. But in the meantime, if you want to get involved with the conversation, check out our social media channels and use the hashtag SkyBluesExtra.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.